Senator Carlson, please come on. Welcome, Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Senator John Carlson, Senate District 4. Thank you, members of the committee, for hearing this bill. This Senate File 113 is a technical clarification of the 2007 Renewable Energy Sources of Energy Bill. With me today is Mr. Lee Sundberg, who is at those hearings and would be available for history or background if there's any questions. What I'd like to do at this time is my constituent was not able to make it to the committee hearing. This is the Chief Executive Officer of Beltrami Electric. This is from Lynette Newsma. And I'd like to read, I think the members have copies of her testimony, and I'd like to read just a couple of the paragraphs off of that.
Senator Carlson, before you begin, there is a quorum present, and we do have an amendment for you. Would you like to move that, or I'll get somebody to move, Senator Howell?
That would be great.
Madam Chair, I'll move that amendment.
Okay. Motion is to move the A4 amendment. Discussion on the A4 amendment. We'll wait until it gets passed out here for everybody. It's in the pamphlets?
It's in our pamphlets.
Okay. Senator Carlson, would you like to explain the A4 amendment?
I think what I would do at this time is I would defer the A4 amendment probably to Mr. Sundberg and have Mr. Sundberg explain that for me.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I am Lee Sundberg with the Minnesota Rural Electric Association, representing the 44 rural distribution cooperatives and 6 generation and transmission cooperatives that serve the state. The amended language is intended to be more specific, detailed, spelling out exactly what it is that we're talking about. The language in the bill was shorter, a little, and broader, and it was thought that possibly there could still yet be another reinterpretation of the language. So we came up with even more specific language to clearly identify that these are sales by, whether it's from the distribution utility or by the generation and transmission cooperative, pooled or not pooled, it doesn't matter how it's being transmitted or whatever, could be interpreted or misinterpreted. That in some way trying to make a distinction between how certain co-ops handle their federal hydropower.
Any discussion? Mr. Fuller, you have something to say?
Madam Chair, members, there was a PUC decision that came up with a decision or that decided the 2007 law in a way that this bill reverses. So it's in response to a PUC decision. They felt bound by the letter of the law and not the spirit of the 2007 agreement.
Okay. Discussion on the A4 amendment. Senator Howe moves to amend Senate File 113 for amendment. Hearing no further discussion, the question is on the A4 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Amendment passes. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The current interpretation by the Public Utilities Commission treats these generating and transmission cooperatives, the GNTs, whose distribution members have chosen to aggregate their Western Area Power Administration, that's the WAPA, I'll refer to that as the WAPA, have chosen to aggregate their WAPA allocations differently than those that have chosen to not aggregate their allocations. And we believe that it was never the intent of the original RES law to treat retail distributors differently based on how they receive their wholesale power from WAPA. Basically, in summary, Madam Chair and members, the OES and the PUC have concluded that the federal WAPA hydropower not aggregated by a wholesale power supplier is not a retail sale when calculating the Minnesota RES. The proposed legislation would not affect this situation. If aggregated, like Minn Kota, East River, and LNO Power do for their distribution cooperatives, then the WAPA megawatts must be included as retail sales. And Senate File 113 clarifies what was the original intent of the 2007 RES law, that aggregated WAPA power would be treated the same as non-aggregated WAPA power. So with that, we ask for your support and thank you for your consideration. And both Mr. Sundberg probably more has more information about the 2007 legislation, and if you have any questions, we would stand for questions.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Madam. I don't, Mr. Sundberg, did you have testimony? I won't dive into questions unless you want to.
Madam Chair, Senator, not unless there's a need for some clarification. I'll respond. Be glad to respond to questions.
Thanks, thanks, Madam. There is need for, I am just having a heck of a time understanding this. I'll take a stab at it and tell me if I'm even in the right in the ballpark. So WAPA power is energy generated. I kind of figured a little bit about that out, and part of what's generated through WAPA is hydroelectric. The co-ops want to count some of that as part of their renewable energy standard or not. Okay.
Right, Madam so Chair, so Senator.
Why don't you explain exactly what's going on? This is highly technical, and I'm not getting what's going on here.
Mr. Sundberg.
Yep. Madam Chair, Senator Dibble. Not quite.
Okay.
Part of the issue back in 2007 was how to treat renewable, whether hydropower mm-hmm. should be renewable or not. The main point of discussion and debate then was Manitoba Hydro. And it was then decided no, that would not count as a renewable energy nor anything else. But federal hydropower was different in the sense of, you know, how, where, who, what, when. And still there was large hesitation to count it as a renewable energy resource. The alternative compromise was to deduct the federal hydropower sales from the denominator, not count them as a retail sale, as opposed to being counted as a renewable energy resource.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you. I'm getting there. I know some other folks are going to testify.
Senator Anderson.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm afraid that I don't want to get myself tangled up in words here, but I think maybe it would be helpful to say that the renewable energy standard, just to be clear, it only covers the retail sales of generation and transmission co-ops and not the little distribution co-ops. So when WAPA sells its power and sends it right to the little distribution co-ops, there's no issue. Mm-hmm. But I think this issue came about because the bigger the GNTs were getting WAPA, and then they were selling it down to the little distribution co-ops. And because they were selling it to them, then it suddenly became part of the retail sales defined in the RES, and so they had to count it towards how much renewables they have to get. And so that's the reason for this change, is that they don't want to have to treat that WAPA power differently from the WAPA power that goes straight to the distribution utilities. Okay, is that right, more or less, Mr. Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson.
Mr. Sundberg.
Yes. All I would add is that the distribution cooperatives that originally received the allocation, and before it was pooled, it was a decision to cooperatives act like cooperatives and pool it with the generation and transmission cooperatives so then they could better, more easily share the federal hydro.
Clear to you?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're in the process of changing chairs here, so all right, Senator Carlson, back to you, I guess. Let me reorganize.
So in essence, Mr. Chair and members, it's a matter of trying to treat all receivers of the WAPA power the same, whether they aggregated at the GNTs or whether it was distributed to them at their locals. And I think the intent, as I understand it, the intent was to treat them all the same originally. But what happened was through a technical ruling by the PUC, they decided, well, maybe they can't by the statute, and so this cleans that up to what we believe was the original intent. So from an arithmetic standpoint, what we're doing is reducing the denominator, not the numerator, which would be a slight change. It would be easier to get to the 25% by 2025, but not substantially if that was a deduction in the numerator.
All right, Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you give us some idea of what the actual numbers are here? What, how much power are we talking about that goes through these aggregated, these pools through the GNTs that would now be excluded?
Mr. Sundberg.
Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson, yes, it's going to be between 250 to 300 thousand megawatts, megawatt hours, excuse me, which is kind of a small percentage for, but big for the smaller distribution, 12 distribution co-ops that are involved. But again, I'd like to emphasize that this is really not a reduction of the megawatt hours that are going to be, you know, subject to or produced by the renewable energy standard. It's just returning to where it was before the 2010 decision made by the PUC.
And Mr. Chair, do you know how much of that pooled power from WAPA is hydro and how much comes from other resources?
Mr. Sundberg?
Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson, all of it. Be all hydropower, yes.
Any other questions for Mr. Sundberg? If not, we'll go to our next testifier is Josh Gackle. Welcome, Mr. Gackle.
Thank
good
you,
to
Mr.
see
Chair.
You back at our committee.
Good to see you. Good to see you, members. And thank you for the opportunity to testify just briefly. Again, my name for the record is Josh Gackle. I'm a regional policy manager at Wind on the Wires. Wind on the Wires, again, is a regional nonprofit, 501c3. Our members are developers, manufacturers, wind developers, turbine manufacturers, other clean energy partners, supply chain participants, and others. Many of you were gracious enough last week to meet with some of our members. They spent some time here at the Capitol on Thursday, and I think some of the committee members had a chance to visit with them, so thank you for that. I'm going to go a little bit off the script here and I think shorten it for the committee's sake and ask for, it may not happen today, I don't know if OES is present, but I think it would serve the committee well and it would serve the stakeholders well to get some clarification from OES on what the direct impact is of this legislation. We feel at Wind on the Wires and under some calculations we've done that the language of the bill and even the language of the amendment clearly would affect the renewable energy standard. Just briefly, some numbers. In 2007, when the bill was passed, based on load growth projections and where we thought we'd be as far as total retail sales in the state and what the renewable energy standard would lead to in 2025, the projections were a build-out of about 6,500 megawatts of new wind in Minnesota. Because of the 1%, lack of demand with the economic downturn recently, that number in 2025 may look closer to something like 5,000 or 5,500 megawatts of total new wind constructed and serving Minnesota retail customers by 2025. If we look at WAPA calculations, and this is again why I would ask OES to maybe help us with this at some point as the bill moves along. We think the overall effect on that 5,500 megawatts of wind is about 150 to 200 megawatts less of new wind constructed in Minnesota. Last week when you met with members and you've had my executive director, Beth Solholt, was here with one of our developer members from Iberdrola even a couple months ago describing the economic impact and the jobs out on the landscape in Minnesota. That's about 150 to 200 megawatts less new wind construction and all the benefits that come with that. Again, with some clarification from OES, we think this moves the number on the 25% RES to something closer to 21 or 22%. And some clarification on that, I think, would be helpful. So we are here simply to urge you to preserve the effectiveness of the RES and what it's provided over the years. I do also want to acknowledge, I know that We heard testimony as well from some of the rural and greater Minnesota municipals, co-ops, and others who may be facing some challenges as it comes to meeting the RES and doing so cost effectively. We think that it's very important that it is met cost effectively. We want to continue down that path. We just don't think this is the right tool. It affects the overall number of the renewable energy standard, and there may be other ways to less bluntly address the concerns from the folks who are having some difficulty in meeting the standard. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Gackel and Senator Carlson. As I'm listening to the discussion and talk about, you know, we figure this, we calculate that, I don't know if anybody's got an example of how they're doing the math on it, but it would be kind of interesting for us members to be able to maybe get an example from folks later of how they did the math, because it does, members get into maybe minutia, but it's always interesting to me to figure out who calculated what and how.
Sorry, Senator.
Okay.
Senator Koch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Gackel. So what less blunt ways would you suggest for the REAs or the groups that are having difficulty?
Mr. Chair, Senator Koch, I would say perhaps there's some flexibility in the timelines for I think it, yet the difficulty is you get into treating the larger utilities and everybody else a little bit differently. It creates problems of its own. I'd be willing to work with the folks from the munis and co-ops to think about some of those ideas. We just think reducing the overall renewable energy standard, which, as you heard from most utilities, a majority who were in this room a while ago said they're meeting it. They're on track to meet their benchmarks. They are doing so cost-effectively. Resource plans from Excel and others, new wind contracts that are looking for show wind to be very cheap on 20-year PPAs going forward. So something other than requiring less build-out of new wind in Minnesota would be and again, I don't have a specific example for you today, but would be happy to continue to work with folks if something like this needs to move along. Mr. Chair, what I didn't mention is we see this as more than just a technical change to the statute. I think I was not at Wind on the Wires at the time that this was being negotiated. Where I was working, we weren't directly involved in this particular matter of the bill. A number of stakeholders were. And I think other folks would say that it clearly was discussed whether or not these WAPA sales should be counted in the baseline, and the legislature decided not to include it, to have them counted in their baselines.
Any other questions?
I don't remember.
Seeing none, I guess we'll go.
I wonder if I chaired at that.
To our next testifier, Aaron Rocklow.
I don't know. Somebody else did.
Mr. Chairman.
Welcome to the committee. Sorry, a little side discussion there.
Not
I should
at all.
Apologize. Please identify yourself for the tape. And
absolutely. My name is Erin Stojan-Rocklow. I'm Clean Energy Senior Policy Associate at Fresh Energy. I'm here today as well to say that we also see this as more than a technical clarification. The way that the language reads now suggests to us that most, if not all, hydropower sales from WAPA at this point would be exempted from retail sales, and we see that as very problematic to the renewable energy standard. Further, I would say that we seem to have some different information, at least, about exactly where WAPA gets its power from. WAPA, at least, for example, in 2007 and 2008, because of drought conditions, the hydro dams that usually supply WAPA power sold into Minnesota were only able to produce about half the power that they normally produce, and instead WAPA purchased a good deal of coal power to meet its contractual obligations. Specifically, 1 million tons of additional coal were burned to replace just the power lost from the Garrison Dam in 2009, and the source for this is actually the Lignite Council. The amount of WAPA sales from hydropower does need to be carefully calculated if we're going to go forward with this in a way that would allow OES and the PUC to determine how much federal hydropower is actually sold in Minnesota utilities who are subject to Minnesota's RES. We are very interested in working through the issues that Mr. Sunkard identifies, but we're not sure if that can be accomplished with the language in this bill.
All right, thank you. Any questions? Senator Dibble?
Thank you, Ms. Rockola. I think I just heard you say, and it stands at some variance to Mr. Sundberg's response to Senator Anderson, which was how much hydropower do the WAPA sales to these co-ops represent. I thought it was, maybe Mr. Sundberg should respond. You said that to sell its contractual obligations, it was in fact selling coal, and so it's not all hydro.
That is what we understand, but I would also say, too, that one of the concerns that we had with this particular language was that WAPA did not go into great detail about its entire generation portfolio, and that's information that we would also need.
So, Mr. Chair, thank you. Mr. Sundberg, can you help shed some light, and if we are talking about...
Mr. Chair, yeah,
hydro,
Senator
or not
Dibble.
Counting it,
yeah,
or not the IRS.
Thank you, Mr. Sundberg.
when we're in drought situations, there may be there. You know, I cannot sit here and say that that's incorrect. That in every possible instant there might be some backup into there. But you know, by and large, I am responding, and I can say quite well that what the co-ops are getting as they see it and handle it is it's federal hydropower. Mm-hmm. Now, what WAPA does as a separate federal agency, you know, I can't say for sure, you know, as it seems to be saying here, but I can't understand, or I would find it difficult to comprehend that one or a power agency would take not take a cheaper source of power as opposed to more expensive.
So, Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, I mean, I don't know what the intention is with the bill. It's moving on somewhere from here today, but I'm wondering if Mr. Sundberg might agree or if the chief author might agree that it would be important for us to at least build in an understanding or a mechanism so that we understand what the portfolio mix is, because the premise of the bill is that this is hydropower.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Dibble. I think the amendment made it abundantly clear. That's what our intent was, to make it abundantly clear that the sale does not include, or that the total electrical sales does not include the hydroelectricity supplied by federal power. So it's the language of the amendment, I think that was one of the reasons we wanted to add the amendment, to make it very clear that we are talking about the hydroelectricity. And so part of the confusion may be looking at the bill itself without the amendment. I think the intent of the amendment was to make sure that we didn't run into that problem of supplanting, of using other forms of power coming from WAPA. So it was very clear about the hydroelectricity part in the amendment. The other thing that I was going to point out is someone asked about the question of the megawatt hours, and I think Mr. Sundberg referred to the number of the 3 GNTs that aggregated 280,796 megawatt hours compared to a total megawatt hours of all the co-ops, that whether aggregated or non-aggregated, 859,129. And so if you wanted some numbers, that would be the numbers there. And I think probably in conclusion, I would just say that, again, we feel that it's a fairness issue whether the co-ops decided to get together and sometime when they did their formation many years ago, some decided to aggregate, some decided not to aggregate. The issue is the hydropower is in fact a renewable. The spirit of the renewable energy sources is that it would be a new type of a source, a wind, solar, that sort of thing. And again, we believe that the intent back in 2007 was to not punish the hydroelectricity, but rather to say, all right, we're not going to include it in the numerator, which would take a big bite out, but we'll include it. We'll allow you to deduct it from the retail sales. And unfortunately, the language didn't get in there exactly as it should have to hold harmless both parties. It really is a fairness issue.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. If you could hold on 1 second, Senator Anderson. I have actually asked Mr. Fuller here. We've been kind of going back and forth. I know sometimes you have these side conversations because as I was sitting through it back then, it just seemed like things were a little more clear, and I thought maybe Mr. Fuller could add a few details or thoughts on how some of that ended up in the final negotiation, because I thought our intent was pretty clear there and parties had signed off to it.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't know if it's appropriate for me to talk about negotiations. If the committee thinks it's appropriate, I will. I was there. I know what was said. I know there was an understanding. I heard that it was to be. How do you feel about that, Mr. Chair? I mean, these were private discussions.
Well, I think, Mr. Fuller, for this, we don't need to get into, private discussions, but did you not prepare the paperwork that we all went through in terms of following that discussion that everybody signed off on?
There, Mr. Chair, there were stakeholder meetings there that were open to the public, and the discussion was had about whether or not this should be included. The administration spokesman said that it didn't think it should be included. It was not known that there were more than one business relationships to receive this power. And so it was my understanding, for what it's worth, that this power was not to be counted. That was the agreement I heard reached at the stakeholder meeting.
Okay, so that was a public part of the process. So just wanted a little clarification on that as we go back and forth on. And Senator Anderson, did you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, first I have kind of a sort of a dumb question, which is I'm trying to get through my head here. So if the power is, if it was all sent directly to the distribution co-ops and none of it was allocated through the G&Ts, would the numbers be exactly the same? I mean, would all the little distribution amounts that they sell be added up and put back in the G&Ts? So it's really, the question is not who's responsible for selling it, but which power we're talking about. Is that accurate?
Senator Carlson or Mr. Sundberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Anderson, yes, you're exactly right. It doesn't matter. It would be exactly the same.
Okay. And so, can I follow up, Mr. Chair?
Senator Anderson.
So I guess I should just weigh in a tiny bit about this whole stakeholder process, because obviously I was there too, and I think Mr. Fuller has a better memory than I do of the details. I mean, honestly, I don't remember this exact conversation. I remember a lot of big picture issues, and so I'm not going to be of any help on that. But I think I think it's important to point it out just because it was a really delicate balance that we came to in 2007. And it was, you know, the Renewable Energy Standard is a bill that we talked about for many years, and there was not a consensus, and it came together, and, you know, Senator Prettner-Solin was the chair of the committee at that time and was really masterful in helping to find consensus. And so I believe in honoring that on the one hand. On the other hand, if we don't have a consensus now, that makes me a little nervous. So I wonder if we could sort of talk to that, you know, bring those stakeholders back together and have that conversation again. I would just feel really comfortable because it doesn't feel like we have a consensus here, and that makes me nervous because that's what got us this bill passed in the final state that was signed by the governor. And, you know, I don't know what conversations you've been able to have on this, Senator Carlson, and I know Mr. Sundberg's been talking to me about this for quite since session began, so I know that you've been talking to a lot of people, but is it possible to bring this issue to and get a bunch of people in a room and just talk it over and see if there's, I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive about that at this point in time, but I really appreciate that about this law, that's, and I'd like to try to maintain that if at all possible, you know, that so we can keep those sort of all those different sides together and feeling like we're moving in the same direction.
Well, Senator Anderson, I appreciate that. And however, it's like when you get to the math and you talk about the math is, you know, one side saying it's really nothing and the other side saying it's 3-4%. So that's why I'd like to see who's doing what with their math, because if we're not coming out with the same kind of math and the same issue, it doesn't when you're talking those kind of numbers and you're not changing the numerator, it doesn't seem like the math would be a big deal. But if you just start changing, so Senator Carlson or Mr. Sundberg, maybe you can shed some more light on that, because I'm trying to figure out how people could come up with that wide of array in terms of percentages based on math.
I didn't even see
it's the same hours.
Mr. Chair, I did run some numbers that were in the OES documents, and just looking first at the WAPA numbers, it comes to the number of megawatt hours that would be deducted from total co-op retail sales would be 1.9%. That's not saying that's a reduction in the RES by 1.9. That's a reduction in the retail sales. Total, if you look at all utilities, that number would come to like less than one half of 1% of retail sales.
So, Mr. Sundberg, how does that affect the RES then, in your opinion, of the way we're talking about this? What's your opinion on that? I'm not going to hold you.
Well,
that everybody would interpret that opinion the same way.
If I had a little calculator here, we could kind of figure that out. But I don't think we're really talking about the extent of reduction in the RES that has been suggested. Or I would be very surprised if we're talking about such huge reductions in the RES when we're only talking pretty small, very small percentages in reduction in retail sales.
Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair. I finally figured it out. I'm still kind of stuck on the mix, the portfolio mix, I understand that the amendment might provide some clarity. I just wanted to ask Ms. Ruccolo if the amendment helps us get closer to understanding, the mix for these WAPA purchases. Supposed to be hydroelectric, but we have the occasional drought and they have contractual obligations, so they have to rely on another source. Does this, to Senator Carlson's comment that the amendment helps us, do you agree with that?
Ms. Rocco?
Fresh Energy still has concerns with the bill,
but
based on the electricity mix.
Senator Dibble.
But Mr. Chair, does this help us understand at least what the mix, does the amendment help us understand what the mix is, so at least we know what's going on?
How does that affect the RES?
In the future?
Senator.
Ms. Rocklow, still trying to do the math up here and figure stuff
out.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't make it more clear to me. Since WAPA obviously has at least two different kinds of generation, the amendment mentions one. There's not a clear way to segregate exactly which source is going to be used to satisfy Minnesota contracts. I would say that we still have concerns about this.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, just reading the amendment language, I think this is a great question you're raising, Senator Dibble. So if, say, for example, there is a drought year and there's no hydropower coming from WAPA and it's coming from other sources, does this mean that they default back so that the retail sales would include other WAPA power? Any WAPA power that was not hydroelectric would be counted to retail sales with the language of this amendment, so that we would have a guarantee that the exemption would only apply to hydro and that otherwise you'd have to go back to meeting the RES for those additional sales. Is that correct?
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And Senator Anderson, yes, you're exactly correct. If it doesn't come from the hydro part, then it will be counted in their full retail sales. If it does come from the hydro, it would be deducted like the other co-ops. And again, a fairness issue, treat all co-ops the same.
It's interesting, members, as we're trying to go back and forth through megawatt hours and issues up here, we're coming up with about an eighth of a percent difference on the RES if we're just dealing with WAPA. So I don't know if we're missing something or our math is fuzzy today. So go ahead, Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Maybe this is a question for the PUC if this provides enough
good
policy direction so that they can look at this and go, okay, well, we need to understand, you know, we need to know in those years when the WAPA power generation that's sources right. aren't all hydro. I mean, I don't know if I agree or not with, you know, excluding the WAPA power sales, you know, from the retail electricity sales mix or not. There is some rationale to do that. It is hydroelectric power, but we excluded that in the case of Manitoba for good reasons. And so I don't know where I fall down on that question. But assuming we do agree that we're excluding this hydro for some reason or another, does this give enough direction to the PUC that they need right. to have the information year to year what the mix of generation is that comes from the WAPA contracts?
Well, I think it might. You make a good point, Senator Dibble. I think that was supposedly the impetus of the legislation was a 2010 ambiguity, if you will. And so I don't know, is there somebody in the PUC here that can maybe answer that question? Mr. Wolf, welcome to the committee. Good to see you.
Pretty quick here. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dan Wolf, Assistant Executive Secretary with the Public Utilities Commission. Members of the committee, the commission order from March 19 of 10 was based on what the commission felt was a plain reading of the statute. When the statute talked about, as Senator Carlson said, the denominator or the base upon which you apply the percentage, when it talked about total retail electric sales, the commission felt that that meant total retail electric sales. The commission was not making a policy decision whether that's, you know, a proper exclusion, a proper inclusion. That's obviously for the policymakers to decide. But they just felt that based on the plain reading of the statute, that was a calculation they need to arrive at.
He's agreeing.
Our staff has looked at the language, and the people who are more knowledgeable about this than I are back at the office, but in my conversations with them, again, based upon the policy direction that you want to place or take, we're okay with the language. We think it does give sufficient direction. And the January 1 effective date made more sense in terms of the way the calculation is done rather than the original bill with the March 19 effective date.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. Any Chairman. Questions?
Senator Metzger? Take Senator Anderson. I'm prepared to move the bill, so I think it's all right. So.
Okay. Senator Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to ask one more question. So, Mr. Sundberg, I guess I'll put you on the spot and say, if we are to pass this bill, do you think that this, and I guess Senator Carlson as well, does this really take care of the concerns that we've heard from the co-ops about meeting the requirements of the RES? I mean, is this sort of the end of the story, and then we're all going to be back one happy family again and moving forward? And I guess I'm sort of asking for, you know, that if this is trying to resolve what people believe was already agreed to, are we going to try to chip away at it any more than that? And, you know, I would hate to see that.
Senator Carlson? Or Mr. Sundberg, did you want to answer that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson, this is it from the WAPA. I can't, because those same co-ops that are involved are are high on their way already to meeting the renewable energy standard. I don't see any wish or desire on their part to be backtracking. They're in. Being on the western side, obviously, they're in wind country. So I think I can pretty well assure you that there's not going to be additional backtracking, if that or whatever word we want to use for wanting or suggesting less. That's not where we're coming from.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Chair, is the tape recorder on?
Oh, good. Yes. Did you have another question, Senator?
Chairman, if it's appropriate, I'll move that Senate File 113 as amended be recommended to pass, and I don't think it has to go anywhere else, does it?
That is appropriate. Do we have any other stops for it? No. To reiterate, thank you, Senator Carlson. Senator Metzen moves that Senate File 113 as amended be recommended to pass. All those, any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, members of the committee. 113
is on its way to the floor. Thank you, Senator Carlson. Members, we have a cancellation on the agenda here for Senator Sinjam's bill today, but I want to remind you that on Thursday, he had another bill up, so he had to go. Like we will all have this time of year, it'll get busy and we'll be in and out of committees with our bills. But Thursday, we're going to have a presentation from the Department of Agriculture on the developments of the next-gen energy projects. And next Tuesday, the draft energy utilities and telecommunications finance bill and spreadsheet. So stay tuned and buckle down. And
let me look.
There's a SIP stakeholder group at 4:30 in this room. And there being no other business, we're adjourned.